Blog Talk Radio.
Waking up to smells of burnt rubber, smoldering campfire, and barbecue sauce. I was there. Cheering on the drivers you love and booing the ones you don't, while watching them battle the baddest track in NASCAR. You can bet I was there. Escape reality for a weekend at Talladega.
The chase for the Sprint Cup returns October 23rd through 25th. Call 1-877-GO-2-DEGA for tickets. This is more than a race. This is Talladega.
Live from Talladega, you're in the pit stop with Tenda Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Hey folks, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota Tundra. You're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
Good evening from Talladega. Excuse me. I'm Tim DeSpain alongside my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. Stephen, how you doing tonight, bud?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Got a little bit cooler weather, and I think we're going to have a great race weekend here at Dega. Wish y'all could make it, which I know y'all can't, but wish y'all could make it down, bud, you and AEM.
Yeah, sounds like it's going to be a good weekend down there.
Yeah, it is. And we're going to have Megan Thomas come on and talk about the weather. But Stephen, if we can, let's bring Reverend Joe into the pit stop with Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson. Reverend, how's everything going out there on the West Coast, bud? You doing okay?
I'm doing good. It's a little bit on the it's a touch cooler today, which is really nice. The weather changed a little bit, not drastically. It's been warm all along, but we're down in the mid 70s, which is nice.
Well, that's about where we're a little bit lower than 70s, but I like this cooler weather, Reverend. I really do.
Well, I think as long as it stays above 60, I'm fine.
Yes,
when it drops below 60.
Yes, I definitely agree. And big race weekend here in Talladega. Suzanne and I are going to make it out there. I'm going out Thursday. I think Suzanne's going to come out Friday and going to be at the media center. But you want to get everything going, Reverend, with the invocation, and we'll
get this
show started, bud.
Let's get on the road. Lord, we come to you today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we thank you, do for us. We ask your safety upon all our racers, everyone involved at the racetracks all over the country, whatever kind of race they're doing. We ask your safety and protection upon all of them. We ask you to be with all of our soldiers overseas and here in America and with their families. Watch over them all. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, so we'd have free entrance into heaven just by believing in him. And we thank you for all those people who fight to keep us free. So please, Lord, be with us, watch over us, and bless us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Jeff.
Thank you.
for Joe, as always. Great invocation. The reason Megan hadn't come on right now, she said to fill in for James Spann at ABC 3340, so she can call in whenever she gets a break. She's yeah, they are definitely live right now doing their show. But Reverend, you got the floor. Let everybody know where they can follow you at on Facebook, social media, and your website. But
website is ontrackwithjesus.org. My email is ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. They can call me anytime at 951-232-7630. We're still, and I hate to harp on it, but we're still trying to raise enough money to make Phoenix and back. At the moment, I've got enough money to make it to Phoenix and not quite enough money to make it back. I use a motorhome for that. And they can go right to that website, ontrackwithjesus.org. $10. If everybody that appreciates what we do would send $10 in, we could make this trip. It's just the way it is. The ministry is always tough that way. It's always hard to raise funds. But not the end of the world. God's in charge. We'll get there somehow. But that's what we got coming up. We just had a big event at our last race of the year at the local track that I play around at myself when I can. At Orange Hill Speedway in a couple of weeks, the 7th of October, the first weekend in October, they've got a big national championship outlaw figure eight cars race coming up, kind of similar to the one they do mid-year in Indianapolis, and all those guys are coming out for that. That should be a real interesting race. So there's still a lot of racing going around the country, folks, and you want to go check it out? I usually do the opening invocation and such at the local track and go to different tracks, and all those things cost money, just like doing your radio show does. Doesn't matter if you're in your home or out on the road, it still costs money to do these things. So anyway, other than that, unfortunately, Betty just flew back home to Washington this morning. I drive her to the airport. Won't see her for at least another month. So it's going to be a little too quiet around here for a couple of days. Or a couple of weeks or whatever. But anyhow, things are okay. We got a lot more racing coming up. And boy, Talladega is going to be one interesting race this weekend.
Yes, sir, it is, Reverend Joe. I can't wait. And I know Stephen's got some updated rules and everything. But I know your time is limited. But Reverend, if I can I throw you over into the screening room with Suzanne and make sure she has your correct address? And we will send you some money for whatever she wants to send to help fund you to go to Phoenix. I'm going to throw you over there, and y'all take care of business. But
we appreciate it all. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Reverend. You're welcome. I'll see you. Throw you over to Suzanne.
God bless you guys.
Okay, Stephen, we got a lot to talk about tonight. Our guest on the show, coming up at the bottom of the hour, driver number 32, Scuttle Tight Ford this past Speedway in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, Will Kimmel. And then coming up at the top of the hour, Director of Public Relations at Make Motorsports, Mr. Brian Hustickle. And also a late entry. They're going to make a big announcement about their sponsorship this weekend at Talladega. I think it's going to be on both of the trucks, Castle's and Ryan Ellis's, a guy by the name of Dan Pinkerton from PTR Industries. But Stephen, do you have any updated news? I know NASCAR updated the rule book, throw some stuff out there. If you want to go into that before I go into the NASCAR Xfinity Series race from Kansas.
Yeah, the biggest thing going into this weekend at Talladega is that NASCAR went back and looked at the events that happened with Austin Dillon back at Daytona back in the summer. And they have concluded that for this weekend's event at Talladega, that both for the Truck Series event and for the Sprint Cup Series event, instead of three green, white, checkered flags, there will be only one attempt at the green, white, check. This will include that if there are two or less laps remaining in the event, the race will conclude with only one final green-white checker. They will be given no subsequent two and three lap, two and three green, white, checkered attempts. There will only be one for this entire weekend, both in the Truck Series and in the Sprint Cup Series event. This is a change for the event. This looks like, per the rule book, this will be subsequently forthcoming in all other events from this point on forward also, as this is only specified for Super Speedway events.
And, Stephen, to throw that out there for our fans that are not really familiar, or which it rarely happens, NASCAR gives them, used to give them three attempts at green, white, checkered flag. And whenever the leader takes the white, the next flag ends the race, is the way the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series rule book reads. And so it's possible we could see a race end under caution at that.
Yes. The way the rule book reads is that once the white flag is displayed, irregardless of what happens next, the next flag under any event will end the race, regardless of the fact of whether it is a green-white checker or a within the race distance. So that will end the race no matter what. But this is only for Super Speedway events forthcoming, starting this weekend at Talladega. With the Camping World Truck Series and the Sprint Cup Series, they will be given one attempt with less than two laps remaining in the advertised distance. For any other event, the advertised distance will continue to be with two or less laps remaining. They will still continue with the three green-white checkered attempts. But forthcoming, starting this weekend, NASCAR, like I said, Steve O'Donnell and everybody talked with those in the industry and looked back at the incident involving Austin Dillon at Daytona in July, and they concluded that from this point on forward at Super Speedways, they will only be given one green-white checker. The other thing that they were looking at is a possibility of going to single restarts on the green-white checkers, but they have decided against doing so. It will continue to be a double file restart on this final attempt to finish the race under green.
I think they made a great decision, Stephen, by not going to that single file restart, especially here at Dega. But I know we got a lot to talk about, and I'm sure we got plenty of time. You want me to get started with the NASCAR Xfinity Series at Kansas and then let you take care of the Cup?
Sure.
Okay, all right. Excuse me, I'll go with the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Was the 15th Annual Kansas Lottery 300. Kyle Busch won the 15th Annual Kansas Lottery 300, the 75th victory in 308 NASCAR Xfinity Series races. This is his fifth victory and top 10 finish in 2015. Third victory and ninth top 10 finish in 11 races at Kansas Speedway. Matt Kenseth finished second. Posted his eighth top 10 finish in 9 races at Kansas Speedway. It is his fifth top 10 finish in 2015. Joey Logano finished third. Posted his sixth top 10 finish in 6 races at Kansas Speedway. Daniel Suarez finished ninth, was the highest finishing rookie. And Chris Buescher leads the point standings by 27 points over Chase Elliott. And also, the race was Kyle Busch's 200th start driving a Toyota. Stephen, let's see what Kyle Busch had to say in the media center at Kansas Speedway with crew chief Chris Gale.
All right, once again, if I could have everyone's attention, we're joined now in the media center press conference room here at Kansas Speedway by the winning team of the 15th annual Kansas Lottery 300. Of course, that would be Kyle Busch, driver of the number 54 Monster Energy Toyota, as well as Steve D'Souza, Executive Vice President of Xfinity and Development for Joe Gibbs Racing, and Crew Chief for today's race for this 54 crew, Chris Gale. Kyle, start with you. Big race. You hit a couple milestones with this one, your 75th career Xfinity win, and what was your 200th Xfinity start for Toyota Racing. But it didn't come easy battling your teammate down the stretch. You know, you had to fight off the 20. You two were going back and forth. Talk a little bit about that battle with Matt and what you were able to do to ultimately fend him off there at the end. Yeah, it was a fun race. You know, I thought early on Matt was obviously really, really fast, and I just didn't have enough to hang with him at all there in the beginning stages. But there towards the end, we were loose all day, so we just kind of kept tightening up. And then there towards the end, I think that helped us, and we got our balance a lot closer a lot sooner than Kenseth was able to, where he looked like he kept getting a little bit loose and being free. So, you know, we just drove it for all it was worth there the last little bit, and fortunately we had enough. We were able to beat Matt. He was the class of the field. I'm sure he's not pleased, but, you know, to put this 54 Monster Energy Camry in victory lane with these guys and this team, and it means a lot to us, you know. Every one of them does, even though it's the 75th one. It still means more to Chris Gale. This is, what, four for you, right? Five?
Six this year.
Okay, well, yeah. Never mind. He's got a lot more than I thought, so he might be getting tired of it too. Who knows? But no, it's just a true testament to everyone at Joe Gibbs Racing and what kind of equipment these guys put out, and you know, how much fun it is to drive, and the results we get.
And Chris, that most recent win for you didn't come without its share of adversity. You know, late in the form of the 20 car, but early on pit road, and then again, you know, having to come back down from some collateral damage in that wreck there with the 10 and the 90. Just talk a little bit about how you guys, you know, Kyle and your entire crew were able to overcome all that and come out on the winning end of this.
Yeah, that's really big. I think if you look at it, obviously the pit road speeding penalty, you know, we had to go to the back there, came back, took left side tires, and you basically start all over again. And I think Kyle did a great job of, once you do that, he's going as hard as he can. We kind of looked at the fuel situation we're in, and it kind of changes your focus. At that point, you can be pretty aggressive on strategy, whatever it takes to try and get back to the lead. And if it doesn't work, guess what? You're going to be in a better situation than you were. So it kind of let us change focus a little bit there. And when we were able to, you know, take those left side tires, get caught up on fuel with everybody, knowing everybody's going to come back in and at most take right sides again, and then we would be even on tires, we were able to get the lead again. And Kyle did a great job of, you know, holding off Matt and the two car there for those laps, and then that was the difference, you know. And then, okay, we think everything's in position, get that caution, then run over that piece of debris, knock a hole in the right side nose, and it's like, oh, man, okay, I got to get this fixed. It's a big hole in the nose, but you don't want to give up the lead. You know, coming off pit road there, that could be the end of the race, you know. So then we fell back to seventh trying to fix the nose. Thankfully, Kyle stuck with it, gave it everything he had, and it was, you know, the great restart was the difference. And then the balance was close enough to finish it off, you know.
And, Steve, for you, very strong Xfinity program that you're heading up there at Joe Gibbs Racing, and we mentioned Milestone Day both for Kyle and Toyota. Talk a little bit about how important, you know, he and Toyota have been to that development of the JGR program, and just expand on the strength of the program that you guys have right now.
Well, I think obviously starting with Toyota, it's a huge asset to have them behind us and the Camry behind us, and they've been true partners, and we so much appreciate everything they're doing for us. Of course, Kyle comes and really, really helps benchmark our program, helps us balance where we are, gives us an idea of what we need to work on, and has been a great partner also, a true friend for a good number of years now running our cars, and we're just thankful that we can gear up to the type of equipment that he could show his skill set. Great race today, phenomenal race for NASCAR and for true professionals. Kyle and Matt going after each other the way they did. You know, for us, I was just talking to Coach. Of course, we're nerve-wracking watching this from the outside. I'm sure for these two guys inside, they were having a blast with it. But it's a great partnership. The guys work extremely hard across the board. They work together, all three of our teams. And we're just proud of the opportunity we have with Matt, Kyle, Daniel, Danny, and all the guys that get to drive our car. You know, they're all support us, and they make us look good.
And, Steven, just to let you know, you've probably not heard that voice. That's a new voice in the media center at NASCAR. Young man by the name of Christian. I don't want to mess up his last name. I got to meet him over at the Autobahn Speedway a few weeks ago. Media event for Tidal Super Speedway, Peters, and Hemric. Good guy. I mean, class act. Just want to let you know that was his. That's a new voice. But, Steven, any thoughts there on Kyle Busch's win in the NASCAR Xfinity Series there in the 15th run of the Kansas Lottery 300.
I mean, obviously, he just continues to just tack on wins in the Xfinity Series out there. He's long surpassed Mark Martin out there for the number of total wins in that series, and just continues to add to those. He's a hard competitor in that series to win, especially with JGR backing that effort. at KBM building those cars and putting those engines underneath there. It really takes a lot of effort for somebody, especially when he's in a car on the weekends, to be able to go out there and beat him. And even tougher on a weekend when he's in a Sprint Cup Series car, because he's just as competitive when you put him in one of those cars. I don't think it really matters anything that you put him in. It's not so much of a car. I think he can take the worst car in the field and almost drive it to the front. But 75 wins out there in that series, it is amazing that he can put that underneath of him and just keep on attacking those on week in and week out.
Yeah, and Steven, he can, just like you said, he can flat wheel a car, especially in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. And I did not realize, that was his 200 start in the Toyota. It just seems like the other day Toyota got in the sport. But anyway, Steven, you want to go ahead with the Cup stuff, bud? You got the floor.
Sprint Cup Series out there at Kansas Speedway in the Hollywood Casino 400 this past weekend on Sunday. Halfway through the chase out there, race number 5 in the chase. We have Joe Logano out there. He won out there, second win in a row for him in the chase, back-to-back, with him coming out there at the finish. Unfortunately, a little bit of controversy there at the end with him kind of taking Matt Kenseth out, spinning towards the end of the race. There were just a few laps to go, and Matt Kenseth would ultimately go on to finish a little bit farther back in the field in the day in 14th position, almost effectively putting him out of contention to move on and digging him a very, very deep hole this weekend at Talladega. With Denny Hamlin finishing second out there, posting his fifth top 10 finish in 15 races out there at Kansas Speedway. Jimmy Johnson finished third. Pat DiBenedetto was your 30th and is also the highest finishing rookie. And Joe Logano leading the point standings by 13 over Denny Hamlin. Going into this weekend there at Talladega, the final of the eliminator round clinch scenarios into Talladega. Now, I'm not going to go through all of this. I'm just going to go through a few of the guys here. Kyle Busch, Ryan Newman, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and Matt Kenseth. These are the four guys that are outside and looking in. These guys are the only four that are going to control their destiny this weekend. They either have to win or they do not move on. The rest of the guys in the field are going to move on regardless of what happens by the fact of throughout the race of what based on their finishing position. Now, there is a possibility that a couple of these drivers, especially Ryan Newman is probably the closest of the guys that have the opportunity, and Kyle Busch has the closest opportunity to move in by virtue of something happening in this event. They are just about 6 and 8 points out at this point from making it into eighth place position, which is held by Martin Truex Jr. at this point. So if something were to happen to Martin Truex Jr. very early on in the event, and Ryan Newman and Kyle Busch can get a better finishing position, those guys could potentially, without a win, make it into the eliminator round. But that's provided that something happens, and we most definitely have seen Talladega to be one of those kind of wild card events where very early on an event where we could have 15 or 20 cars tore up very quickly and some very good cars at that matter. Matt Kenseth is all but out. He is 60 points behind in 12th place. And as I said, the only way that he can move on, he has to win this race. Same with Dale Earnhardt Jr. He is 56 points out at this point, and he will need to win this race this weekend at Talladega. Neither of these guys have an opportunity to work off of somebody else's bad luck or a couple of guys' bad luck to move on into the Eliminator round starting next week at Martinsville. Or, yes, at Martinsville next week.
And Steve, let's see what Joe Logano had to say in the media center at Kansas Speedway. And we could talk about the Matt Kenseth, Joe Logano thing all night, but let's see what they had to talk about.
All right, if I could have everyone's attention once again, joining us now here in the press conference room at Kansas Speedway is our race winner, Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford for Team Penske. Joey, another weekend in the contender round, another win, another fall chase race at Kansas Speedway, another win for you. And in doing so, you put a lot of pressure on the rest of the guys in the chase field. Just talk a little bit about your run today, how you were able to get to victory lane, and the implications for both your team and the rest of these guys in the chase heading into Talladega.
Yeah, what a fast race car again. Really, we're starting back in 14th. It wasn't where we wanted to be, but the first run, we drove all the way up to second. And I was like, wow, we got something today. And some of the guys made the cars quite a bit better, and they were able to, kind of move up through the field and with different strategies and stuff like that. And then really the last pit stop, Todd made a great call and made some great changes. And then it's always that time to find that next level as a driver and find that next little piece to get a little bit more speed out of your car. And I was able to race hard and get back to the lead and be able to win.
All right, we'll go right ahead, open it up. If you have a question, raise your name. We'll get you a mic. Just state your name and affiliation. We'll start right here in the front with Todd from the Kansas City Star.
I bet I guess what you guys are going to ask me. I bet all you guys have the same question.
Well, Joey, I think there were 5 laps to go. Can you just take me through? I mean, obviously, Kenseth kind of racing for his chase life in some respects. You know, it seemed like you maybe had the faster car, on that run, and he's blocking you low, blocking you high. Just tell me what you saw and how all that transpired.
Yeah, it's just it's hard racing. With 15 to go, I got to the outside of him down the backstretch, and I had to lift and not to wreck both of us at that point. I got put in the same situation down the front stretch. And then we just happened to go in the same corner, and we both went for the same piece of real estate. I wanted that middle lane, and so did he, and we collided there. So hard racing, we ran each other hard. He ran me hard, I ran him hard back. That's just the way I'm, the type of driver I am, type of racer I'm going to be, and it just comes to that point sometimes. It's unfortunate that those things happen, and it's just hard to. It doesn't take anything away from our win today. I'm proud of what this team's been doing. I'm proud of the way we've been racing week in and week out and executing our weekends with not only a fast race car, but doing our jobs during the race to keep us up front. So proud of what we got.
And also to follow up, you talked Friday about how relaxed you were able to be last week after the win at Charlotte and how much pressure other guys were under. I mean, how much of an advantage is it knowing that you're the only guy that's safe and that those other 11 guys are all really going to be on pins and needles all week, especially because it's Talladega?
Yeah, I mean, really, just, we're able to go into that race and be relaxed, and that's something to be, to feel good about because, our goal coming into this weekend was to win the race and keep, everyone not feeling too comfortable about Talladega, and really the only way you feel comfortable is if you have a win. And for us, we were able to get those 2 and set ourselves up in a good spot for that weekend and then obviously be able to move to the next round. But really, I look at these last 2 races, and we can't be too proud of ourselves as far as, this is 2 tracks that are very similar. So we had 2 very fast race cars at very similar racetracks. But if I look at the next round, you got Martinsville, way different, right? You got Texas, it's similar, but quite a bit different than what we have here. And then obviously Phoenix. So you got 3 way different racetracks of what we've been racing. So we can obviously be proud of what we've done, but don't, just hang your hat on that. We need to definitely move forward and think about these upcoming races.
All right, we're going to go to Lewis, over to Bob, back up to the front, send it up to the press box for a couple, and then we'll work our way around back here.
Lewis Franco, Reuters. Drivers who think they've been wrong have as long memories as wives who think they've been wrong. Do you have any concerns about how Kenseth will race you the rest of the year?
No, not really. You know, I feel like he raced me the same way, you know. So, yeah, I'd be surprised if he expected something different. So we were just, you know, like I said, we were just racing hard, you know, and he's racing for a win. I'm racing for a win, and there's a lot of aggression there. And then that's what a sport's built on. Or sport's built on stuff like that. And going forward, we're going to race. You know, that's what we do. That's what we do every week. We go out there and race each other, and you know, these things always seem to happen every now and again, and you just, you know, you work it out, and, you know, eventually it all comes out fine.
And, Stephen, we could talk about that all night, because you know the way Kansas talked in his post-race interview. He's going to get Joe Logano back. But if I can I hold your thought on that? We've got ABC 33. Meteorologist Ms. Megan Thomas, she's going to come on, Stephen, and give us a weekend forecast for the CampaWorld.com 500 here at Talladega Super Speedway, and I think she has some bad news. But I'm hoping it's not too bad, Megan. Let's bring Megan into the pit stop, which I nicknamed her Mother Nature Pit Stop, Dennis Payne and Stephen Wilson. Megan, how are you doing tonight? Thank you very much for taking time out, because I know you're having to fill in for James, but thank you very much.
You're welcome. No, I love doing it. I was on the news, and once we finished, I hopped over and made the phone call, and we'll talk about what's going to happen this weekend in Talladega.
Go ahead, Megan. You got the floor, but I've already heard. Maybe
yeah.
I'm hoping you're wrong.
I am too. Okay, so like I explained on television, so what's happening is there's two different models that we look at when we predict rain, and well, there's several, but the two that I look at is the GFS and the European. Those are the ones that go out the furthest. So the GFS has all the rain still in Mississippi around 6, 7 o'clock at night on Sunday. The European has rain right smack dab on top of Alabama. So that could mean rain delays, wet surfaces, the infield will be soaking wet. So we're still, you know, very iffy on that. So the best chance will be check back here on Friday, and I can give you a better update on that. But anyways, what we're thinking is about a 30% chance of rain on Sunday. But if they are headed down Saturday, and a lot of people head down Friday and Saturday, plenty of sunshine, temperatures nearing 80 degrees both days. Friday, 83, Saturday, 80. Overnight lows in the 60s. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. Sunday, clouds begin to move in. It'll be mostly cloudy throughout the entire afternoon, highs only in the mid-70s, and then we could see some showers in there. So if you are headed there, pack the rain gear and the boots to be on the safe side. You don't want to be slopping around in all of that mess.
Oh, gosh, Megan. Well, at least Suzanne and I are going to be in the media center. So if it does rain, maybe the Titans can get it dried out, and I want to take off Monday. But I know you're busy, Megan. Stephen Wilson, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com. Do you have anything for Megan, or you want to get on her about the weather forecast for today?
No, the only thing that I'm going to get on her about is I saw something you posted on Twitter about going to the Cayman Islands. I want to know where all of our invites were.
I'm sorry. Did you say?
I said I saw something on Twitter about you going to the Cayman Islands. I want to know where
I was in the Cayman Islands about 2 weeks ago, I guess. It was absolutely wonderful.
And nobody sent our invites. It must have gotten mailed.
I know. So sorry. You know, I only went with my mom and dad, and it was so relaxing. I slept. I laid out. I ate food, and that was about it. And then came back to work, and so it's been fun. It was a very, very nice vacation.
Very nice. I've been there a couple times my own self, so it's a very nice place to go.
Yeah.
Megan, thanks again, sweetie, and like to tell all of our listeners, I nicknamed you Mother Nature, but Mother Nature, mm-hmm. let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and everything, and I'll get back with you, and I'll be posting your forecast before the race weekend. But let everybody know where they can follow you on social media, Megan. You do a great
absolutely,
job. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, absolutely. You can find me on Facebook at Meteorologist Megan Thomas, and then on Twitter, you can find me at MegTom_WX, and I will be working this weekend, so tune in to ABC 3340, and I will have your latest Talladega forecast on the air.
Thank you very much, Megan. I will be tuning in. I'll send you some pictures from Dega, too.
That would be wonderful.
All right. Thanks, Megan. Have a good night and have another good broadcast here at 10 o'clock.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. See you, Megan.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye. All right. That was our meteorologist for the show, Ms. Megan Thomas. And, Stephen, I said a while ago we were going to try to talk about some stuff, but Megan, she was doing her live weather for ABC 3340 over here in Birmingham. But at this time, I want to bring on our guest at the bottom of the hour, driver of the number 32, Scuttle Tight Ford, this past weekend at Kansas Speedway in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, Mr. Will Kimmel. Let's bring him into the pit stop with Timmy Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Will, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing good. You guys doing okay?
Yes, sir. I'm doing great. I'm doing great. And thank you for to your mom, Pam, for sending the hero card that we're going to give away later. And but I know your time is limited, and Stephen says I always hog up a guest. So I'm gonna let Stephen Wilson, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, have you first, and then I'll have a couple questions later if that's okay, bud.
Ain't no problem.
Hey, Will, so you were able to race the car at Kentucky, and then you were able to race it at Kansas, two different packages, one with the low downforce package, and then come back to Kansas, which had the high downforce package, two totally different packages in the Sprint Cup Series car. Talk a little bit about the differences between the cars and what you saw at Kentucky and then what you saw at Kansas, and especially at Kansas, where the closing rate, you were able to close on cars, but it was very, very hard to pass a lot of times on the track.
Unfortunately, about the only time I ever got to close on any cars was when we had a caution. it's hard for me to compare because I don't have a lot of experience, you know. I could tell you better if we went to Kentucky. If we went back to Kentucky with that package, because Kentucky's rough, it hasn't been repaved. Kansas is smooth. There's absolutely no bumps. It's like running on glass. There's a lot of grip. You can run from white line to the wall. So naturally, Kansas has a lot of grip anyway. So for me to be able to tell you the difference, it's pretty hard for me to say. Other than there was a lot more grip at Kansas, but I'm sure some of it was from the aero package on the car, and I'm sure more than anything, difference in the asphalt and the newness of Kansas. Kansas is a pretty phenomenal racetrack to run on. You do things with the race car there that you shouldn't be allowed to. So,
yeah. So being in the car for the second time this year, obviously not necessarily being able to run the car, but such on a very, very limited schedule this year. And hopefully in the future you'll be able to be in the car a little bit more. But what was your goals, especially being in the car for the second time, after being in the car for at least once earlier this season?
Well, I really, my goals don't really change, as far as race to race. Archie and Mason were good enough to come on and give me this race here at the end of the year. And, they know I have limited experience in these cars. I mean, the guys that are in these cars are the best at what they do. And as far as I'm concerned, they're the best race car drivers on the planet. You put them in anything, they're going to be fast. And I'm coming in there, two Sprint Cup starts and, limited ARCA schedule. Not a lot of seat time over on the ARCA side as far as being in there full time. So, I always want to get to the end of the race. I don't like tearing the race car up. I got in the wall a little bit going into 3 and 4. I got loose getting up there. We were running towards the top of the track. I got loose, got in the wall. But, the biggest thing I want to do when I go to the Sprint Cup races is make as few mistakes as I can. Keep the car in one piece and make all the laps. Unfortunately, I got in the wall a little bit, and I actually had three pit road speeding penalties, which was awful. It was mostly my fault because I'm not used to making green flag stops. We really don't have to deal with that on the ARCA side. And like I said, it was a big learning experience for me. So that's about where my goals are right now, and I try to stay pretty close to that. And luckily, we were able to finish.
Yeah, those electronic lines on pit road, they don't give very much, that's for sure.
No, not really at all.
So, I think this was the last one that you're scheduled in for this year, and obviously the ARCA Racing Series, finished up this season out there at Kansas also. So you're going to have to start looking towards 2016, obviously, and what you guys are going to do out there, whether it be on a limited schedule or what you're going to do for next year. Where is your mindset already starting to look to 2016? Because obviously that's your other full-time job as a race car driver, is that once the season ends, it's like, what do you start working on for the next year?
Right now, I got a big street stock race coming up here. Saturday and Sunday here at Salem. It's 5,000 win. They start us 3 wide, and they'll start 60 cars. So I got to do that. We're going to do a test here next weekend. And then after that, once we get through this next week and a half here, I'll actually start moving cars out of shop, swapping them with the shop we have at Mom and Dad's house, and bringing the Daytona stuff in. Excuse me. And just getting ready to go for the test in January for Daytona. We have a couple things working for next year, and hopefully some of that stuff pans out. I think we should be really good 2016. This year was a little bit different because I hadn't been in the race shop. So when I come in there about a year ago, there's been some adjusting, and me and Derek, the guy that works with me in the race shop while Dad's in the office, it takes time, and we're definitely on the same level, but we'll just get better as we continually work with each other. And I think that's what happened towards the end of the year is you saw us start picking up, and we started moving up in the races, and that's what happens when you start getting continuity in the race team and stuff like that. So before 2016, we'll just see what happens as far as on the money side of things.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for taking time to come on here tonight. I'm going to be back over to Tim, and congratulations on your second race out there in the Spring Cup Series. Hopefully you can get into a ride next year also and continue that move up throughout the series.
No problem. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Stephen. Yeah, well, this is Tim here again. I know you touched a little bit about on your penalty stuff, and I think it was lap 87. You got caught speeding, exiting. I don't want to bring up the bad things. I'm just bringing it up, Will. And then lap 140, you're speeding, entering, and then I think it was the same lap also, outside half of the pit box tire violation, team member not in contact with outside tires. And then you were correct. Lap 189, he was speed entering. And, Steven touched on the big thing there. The Sprint Cup car, I mean, it's a lot different than the ARCA car and a lot different than the Xfinity car that you've raced in the past. How hard is it to actually get used to? I mean, because you race the ARCA car and then you jump into the Sprint Cup car. How big a difference is it to acclimate to it, Luke?
The cup cars are just they turn so many more RPMs, so you got to get accustomed to the noises inside the car. We only turn 7,500 in the ARCA car, and even before that, we only turned 8,800. So the amount of gear you pull in the cup car is a lot more than what we're going to pull in the ARCA car. So that when you get on the gas in the cup car, those actually accelerate. So there's some feelings going on that your body feels that you got to get acclimated to in the cup car, and once you get through that, there's not a whole lot of difference. You're just going faster. With the ARCA car, I'm not hardly out of the gas, and a lot of the fast guys on the cup side aren't ever out of the gas in their qualifying runs and stuff like that. And like I said, the biggest difference is they're 2 seconds faster than my ARCA car. So there's a lot to adjust to when you're going 2 seconds faster on a mile and a half track. So That's the biggest deal, but, me and Dad were talking about it, and once you get 20, 30 laps into the race, I actually think the cup cars and the ARCA cars drive a whole lot alike as far as, your off-the-throttle time, the way you can move around. Some of that stuff is fairly similar. Like I said, the biggest difference is when you get on the gas, the cup car is actually going to accelerate because of the amount of gear you can pull versus the ARCA car.
Right. And, well, if I can, I want to go ahead and read off the trivia question to win your signed hero card. And here it is. This is a very hard one. very, very hard. I had to go very hard on this one, Will. And I'll have a couple more questions, and we'll wait for the phone line to light up. The question is, for a signed NASCAR Sprint Cup Series hero card of Will Kimmel, what year and what track did Will Kimmel make his NASCAR Sprint Cup Series debut? I'll throw it out there again. The number to call in is 215-383-3681. What year and what track did Will Kimmel make his NASCAR Sprint Cup Series debut? And, Will, just to go back, probably see if we're going to get any callers, and they're starting to call in. You were talking about the RPMs and stuff versus the ARCA car and the Sprint Cup car. I noticed there were a lot of guys running the high line, and like Joey Logano. I think he said he might have had to lift some, but he could pretty much, I think he said 3 and 4, he could pretty much keep the throttle down. Were you running the bottom? I seen you run the bottom and the top both when I was watching it on NBCSN. Which groove, could you run a groove where you could actually hammer down and not have to lift?
No, unfortunately, we weren't good enough to where I could stay in the gas that long. We struggled with a loose end condition, and when you have that at those types of racetracks, it's a trust issue with the race car, and you kind of got to tiptoe to get down in the turn, and when you got to run down in there wide open and the car wants to get loose, it's a very unsettling feeling. But we made it better through the race, and we got to where we were running better from where we started. And I actually stayed on top of the racetrack probably 90% of the race. And the reason I like to go to the top is because it gives the leaders and everybody else the bottom of the track, and they can find a way around me because I'll just stay up next to the wall, and it really doesn't affect them. I mean, when the leaders get underneath you, you always want to back off. You want to make sure you give them the turn. You just want to do whatever you can not to impede their progress because at that point I was already a couple laps down, so it's not going to hurt me if I need to back off and give them the turn, and that's always what I try to do. So I've always found that it's easier if you go up to the top, you don't have to slow down as much, and they have to slow down very little, if at all.
Yeah, and just to some of our listeners that don't really know much about it, it's called diamond in the corner, right, Will?
Well, you really don't necessarily diamond the corner. When you run up top, it just makes the turn longer. It's obvious if you run on the bottom, the track's shorter, so you got to turn the wheel more. You run up top, you can unwind that steering wheel a little bit, and it actually lets you pick up momentum as you run around the top of the racetrack, and you can, like Logano was saying, you can stay in the gas so much longer because you're not turning the wheel as much, and you got a bigger radius for the corner, and that's what the top allows you to do. It's a really good place to go if your car's a little bit tight in the center. You get to the top of the racetrack, you can still keep digging pretty good.
Right. And a couple more questions, Will, if you don't mind. The phone lines have lit up. I'm going to take a random call here in a minute for the signed Will Kimmel NASCAR Sprint Cup Series hero card. But if I can, Will, I'm pretty sure Stephen had this on his mind. I'm going to go ahead and ask you also, what is your take on Continental Tire taking over an ARCA Series next year over Hoosier? Is it going to be a big difference? Are y'all going to get to test anything, or have you heard anything?
From everything I've heard, I don't think there's going to be a difference at all. I don't exactly have all the answers there, and I don't know exactly what all is going on, but I don't think a whole lot's going to change right there. And even if that, it's hard to say, but Hoosier's got a pretty good intermediate tire, I don't think you can really beat the short track tire for what it does. I don't see them changing the compound and the makeup of them tires a whole lot.
Well, the only thing that is changing is that Continental is going to take over the distribution of the tires. Hoosier is still going to produce the tire itself, but with Continental Engineering, they're going to help engineer the tires, but Hoosier is still going to actually make the tires for Continental.
Right. That would make the most sense, and I had heard that, but I hadn't heard anything for sure, so I don't know. I heard about it when I got out of the race car, and that's about as far as it went. And in Kansas, I probably wasn't the best person to talk to about that at that time.
Steven, thank you for clarifying that for me, because me and Will both problem is it. And Will, one last question, and I'm going to bring a caller on to see if he's got the answer. You finished 11th in points. Awesome, bud. You didn't race but 16 races. You had 3 top fives and 4 top tens in the ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards. Is there any plans to run the full season next year in the ARCA Series?
That's definitely what I want to do, but it's just I don't have anything for certain right now. We're talking to a couple people, and we're going to try to put something together of some sort, but, it's just it's hard to say. This year didn't do any good for us, financially, and when you're in a situation like we are, we're running fourth at Pocono, and we blow a left run, or we run over something, or whatever happens there. When you're a team like us and you don't have a lot of sponsors, that fourth place finish, it might not pay great, but that $6,000 or $7,000 that we're going to get for finishing there is a big deal. So when you go from fourth to 18th and you get 800 or whatever 18th pays, that's a big swing for us. And if anybody's watched our year, we've had races like that all the way through from Talladega to Salem to Pocono. You got Kentucky and Chicago, and those races have really put us behind, and it's just a shame with what's happened. So obviously a full year would be great for us, but it's just really hard to say at this point.
Yeah, I know. Just like when I told your granddad at Dega last year, he said, that poor Will, if he didn't have no bad luck, he wouldn't have no luck at all. Will, you've had the worst luck all year. But anyway, Suzanne is going to put the pit stop back on the ARCA car next year here at Dega. So we'll help you out wherever we can. But the phone lines are lit up, and I'm going to take this caller right here. And, Will, I'm going to warn you. You might want to have a few minutes to talk to this guy. This is my good friend Phil Crump. Up there in Lincoln, Alabama, which you know where Lincoln is, right there by the racetrack. And let's see if Phil knows the answer to the trivia question. Hey, Phil, you're in the pit stop. Tim Spain, Stephen Wilson, Mr. Will Kimmel.
Hey, man, I think it was Kentucky 2015.
Well, I made it too easy.
No, you didn't. And I know he's got some bad luck to him, but he's a great driver.
He is. And,
I appreciate it.
I made it easy, Will. I'm sorry, Will. I made it easy. But, Will, if you got a minute, I want you to talk to this guy. This guy right here is a hoop. This is my good friend, Phil Crump. We used to play softball together. He used to play in a band. But, Phil, you want to ask Will Kimmel any questions? We got a few minutes for the top of the hour, bud. You go ahead.
How you doing, Mr. Kimmel?
No, I'm can't complain here. Just hanging out.
Well, I was going to ask you one question. I know it's sometimes how hard is it to get a sponsor and keep one. I know it's got to be tough.
Yeah. You could say that. That's probably the best political answer I could give you.
Well, I mean, I know they like to say that. There's a lot of things going on in racing, but I'm tell you, I'm really excited about Talladega. I can't go very much, but it's going to be a good ride, good weekend, and everything. But it's kind of busy around here. But yeah, like I say, I think you're a great driver, man. I mean, I know you've had some tough times, but I guess that may be racing. I guess.
Yeah, it's not been a year that I'd like to remember. It's been pretty hard on us. I mean. It would be better. It'd be better if we could get a win. That's the biggest thing. But then again, it'd be worse if we weren't running as good as what we were.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, just hang in there, man. Everything's going to get better. Just keep driving. And, good luck to you. And I appreciate you talking to me.
No problem. You won't see Kimmel Racing back down because of a little bad luck. We'll keep going, and we'll get it better.
Well, I hope you do, buddy. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Will. That's my good friend from up there in Lincoln, just right outside Tallahassee Speedway. Steve, any last thoughts for Will before we let him go?
No, I don't have anything else for Will tonight. I'll let him get out of here.
All right, Will, thank you very much. Tell us.
tell Erica, tell your mom, Pam, and tell Mr. Phil thanks for everything that they've done for us, and thanks for everything that y'all do for us. And if you want to let everybody out there know where they can follow you at on social media, Bud, you got the floor.
Well, appreciate you guys having me on, and obviously on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, it's Will Kimmel, or at Will Kimmel, or you know, however the tag goes there. And I keep up on that stuff pretty regular. So, yeah, that's the easiest way to find me. And we got to thank everybody who's helped me this year. We had a good year for the most part. You know, it's been tough, but we'll be back. So, anyway, I appreciate you guys having me on. And there again, I got to thank Mason and Archie for the cup deal, and, you know, my mom, my dad, and everybody who supported me on the ARCA side. It's been a good year. So we've got one more race to go, and we'll see how that pans out.
Sounds good, Will. Thank you very much for coming on. Keep in touch, bud. Safe travels wherever you go, and we'll talk at you later, bud.
All right. See you guys. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. We'll see you, bud. All right. That was Will Kimmel, driver of the number 69 Ford Fusion in the ARCA Racing Series, and also made a couple starts this year in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Steve, we have about 3 minutes before top of the hour. We've got Todd Bigsby waiting. I know he's wanting to be chomping at the bits. Come on, but at the top of – wait a minute, let me go. The number to call in is 215-3881. And, Steve, you want to talk a little bit about the Matt Kenseth, Joey Logano incident? We could talk about that all night, but I want to get your take on it. Do you think Joe was a sitting duck at Dega? You know I got to throw it in there and stir the pot.
No, not at Talladega, I don't think. We get into this, you know, everybody gets into this conversation a lot of times coming into Talladega, but, you know, Talladega is such a big track that, you know, Matt Kenseth's a smart enough guy that he knows that if he tries to wreck Joey Logano at Talladega, that he's just asking for trouble his own self. He's not going to win the race that way. He's got to protect himself all day long. He's got much bigger problems that he has to worry about, especially because of how far he is down in the points. You've got Martinsville the week after. Those are the types of tracks that if there's a retaliatory measure, you know, if Matt Kenseth were to do something like that, not saying he will, not saying he won't, but, you know, you don't go into a track like Talladega or Daytona and try and pull anything like that. NASCAR knows. NASCAR, you know, is not going to allow that to happen. You know, the drivers are smart enough to know that you can get hurt there. No matter how mad you are at another driver, no driver wants to see another driver hurt intentionally, and they're not going to do that. You know, to try and injure another driver, and that's a track that you can really hurt somebody at. You know, a place like Martinsville that's small, you can really get into the back bumper of somebody, you know, really ruin somebody's day, like Joey Logano, which can, you know, end up 42nd, 43rd really, really quickly, and make it very hard for him to move on to Homestead. You know, that would be more of a track that you would see something like that happen, with the beating and the banging and the bumpers and the chrome horns. You know, you just don't go to Talladega and do that kinds of stuff. Now, you know, even Dale Earnhardt, you know, any driver of any era knew that. Even the drivers of today know that.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And, Steven, if I can, I think we've got our top of the hour guest coming on here in just a second. I think Suzanne's got him in the screen room, but I want to bring Todd to do the deal. Todd's been holding for the whole hour. Let's bring Todd in the pit. Todd, how you doing, bud? I know you've been listening to a lot of our conversation and stuff, and Steven says that Matt will not use the chrome horn at Dega. Oh, Joey, what's your take on that, Todd?
Well, I hate to give Steven a little bad news. I believe Matt is, what, 12th? 12th on the standings?
Yeah, Matt Kenseth is 12th. He's 60 points out right at this point. He has no choice Going into Talladega, he either has to win or he goes home. There is no choice for him going into this weekend.
Okay. So, just to bust on you a little, Steven, I think if Matt knows that he can't pull a win, I think he might want to watch a rearview mirror and see what might happen. I think Matt might just thing off. Because if he doesn't get a win here at Talladega, he's out. So you got to figure this is his only chance for getting even, in which, you know, I'm going to stay out of that one.
Yeah, but, you know, regardless of that fact, Joey Logano still moves on into the eliminator round. You know, he could wreck Joey Logano in lap one, and Joey Logano could sit out for the entire race, and he still moves on regardless of the fact. You know, the eliminator round is what counts. Those are the guys that are going to move to Homestead. If you're Matt Kenseth, are you a guy that protects your car all day and tries to go for that win, or are you the guy that tries to damage your car and then eventually not win? You know, if you're a guy, are you that guy that tries to do that, or are you the guy that just tries to do your best and go out there and try and move on? That's the ultimate question. But I think Matt Kenseth is ultimately smart enough to know that you don't go to a place like Talladega where you go in and you try and wreck Joey Logano, because not only that, you have Kyle Busch that is sitting right on the outside. If Martin Truex Jr. has a bad day early on, Kyle Busch has potentially a way to make him make a way into the eliminator round. And if he does something early on, that could potentially take Kyle Busch out of this moving on also, including Matt Kenseth. So that's another one of your teammates that could potentially be bought into this, you know, with this melee. So you have to not only protect yourself, but you have to protect the your other teammates at the same time. You know, I think a lot of it just comes down to the fact that, you know, Talladega is just really not a track that you want to try and play around too much. Mm-hmm. Drivers saw what happened at Daytona with Austin Dillon getting up into the fence. You know, he was lucky that he wasn't severely injured in that. We don't want to see that at Talladega. But, you know, as I said, you know, Martinsville is such a small track that, you know, a bump and run, getting him into the wall out there, you know, making his day very, very hard out there can ultimately lead to a 42nd, 43rd finishing spot, you know, is more – It would make better sense than to try and go into Talladega and destroy not only your car, but your teammate's car, or even take away a chance that if you're running good that day, you don't want to go out there and damage your chances to win.
And, Steven, yeah, I bet this weekend at Talladega, the CampingWorld.com 500, I mean, and the Freddy's 250 for the trucks, I mean, it's going to be a real interesting weekend, especially for the Cup side. But, Steven, we have our two guests coming on. We have Director of Public Relations at Make Motorsports, Mr. Brian Huffstickle, and also from PTR Industries, Mr. Dan Pickerton. Let's bring them into the pit stop with Tim Despain and Steven Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Brian, Dan, how y'all doing tonight, gentlemen?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank y'all for taking time out of y'all's busy schedule to come on, Brian and Dan. And Steven, if I can I hand them over to you and let you manage it for a minute? I need to make a pit stop. You know what I mean? I'll be right back. Give me 5 minutes.
Sure. Absolutely.
Hey,
so,
Steven, I got a question.
I guess I'll go ahead.
How come every time I get on the show, he's got to go make a pit stop?
Well, that one one I can't answer for you. I'll have to wait until he comes back. But you you'll have to ask that question when he gets back.
We'll let that one go for tonight.
Yeah, we'll let that go. Brian, so you're on tonight to talk about a little bit of sponsorship announcement that you have going on with PTR Industries that will be sponsoring, I believe it is, Ryan Ellis this weekend with Make Motorsports entry in the Camping World Truck Series at Talladega Super Speedway. I'll let you have the floor and let you guys talk a little bit about how the sponsorship deal came to fruition, and we'll talk a little bit about that once you guys get the sponsorship deal out there in the open.
Well, most definitely. First of all, we're proud to announce that actually PTR Industries came on as a sponsor this past week with Make Motorsports, and we're going to have them on either one or both of the trucks this weekend. I'm not sure yet, so we really can't say which driver that they're going to be with. But PTR Industries, a couple of years back, and Dan can clarify dates, but they actually moved into Ainer, South Carolina from up north. Proud to have them a part of this Palmetto State, and we're even more proud to have them a part of a sponsorship with our race team and to be associated with these guys. From day one, they've been like family to us. They really have. It's just about like taking a family member in. We went down and actually met with these guys for the first time. We actually got to fire some of their weapons, and just, you know, all around the morale with this company and the employees of this company, it's just been a perfect fit for Make Motorsports, and we're real proud of these guys and real proud to have these guys be a part of us.
Yeah, we're super excited to be a part of NASCAR and a part of Make Motorsports, especially, you know, having you guys come to the shop, you know, walking around, meeting you guys. It was like you said, it's like having a family member around. You know, we clicked it right away. And, you know, we had never, you know, been in the business to sponsor, you know, anybody from NASCAR. So you kind of opened our eyes a little bit into how, you know, potentially affordable it can be. And, you know, you don't have to be a Pennzoil or an M&M's to, you know, sponsor somebody. You know, you can do it as a smaller business, which was attractive to us. And, you know, he helped us out along the way. Our company, you know, originally from Connecticut. Unfortunately, Connecticut passed some very restrictive gun laws a couple of years ago, 2.5, 3 years ago now, and, you know, basically forced us to, you know, pack up our bags and move our facility down to in the south, and we picked South Carolina. We're super happy to be down there. You know, they weren't kidding around when, you know, they were talking about Southern hospitality. You know, I had never experienced it until I moved down here. I've been down here about 2 years now. And it's been great.
And as a new sponsor coming into the sport, a lot of times, you know, coming fresh into the sport, it kind of opens your eyes, as you've already said. It sometimes is more affordable than what a lot of other companies would think. So you don't have to be a multi-million-dollar company, as you said, an M&M's or a Pennzoil, or, you know, you pick a brand name, a Fortune 500 company. When you look at the aspects of NASCAR and the dynamics that you have to appeal to an audience, what was it about coming into the Camping World Truck Series and looking at a particular event over another particular event that you thought that the Camping World Truck Series, and especially Talladega, would fit the dynamics of what you guys were looking for in the sponsorship area to go after your customers?
Well, first off, you know, you think about, you know, South Alabama, you know, Talladega area, you think, you know, that's probably, you know, one of the best demographics you're going to get in the U.S. for, you know, people who like firearms. Just that in itself, you know, being from the Northeast, you know, people frown upon that, call ourselves a firearms manufacturer. We, you know, we considered ourselves a sporting goods manufacturer, just so people didn't, you know, frown upon us while we were up there. So that in itself, you know, just people down here seem to be much more friendly to firearms, which is why we're here in the South to begin with. Talladega, you know, Talladega is, you know, everybody's heard of Talladega. It's a legendary track. you know, the biggest track on the circuit, and you know, it's the biggest show in town, you know, as far as I'm concerned. And you know, we just thought it was a perfect opportunity to you know, get our product out there, and you know, people that don't know about us, maybe they'll see us on a truck and be like, oh, you know, who are those guys? Oh, and then they'll hear about our story moving down to the south, and you know, maybe give us a look.
And Brian, for you, you know, when you have to go and approach these sponsors out here, especially a smaller demographic sponsor, and bring them into the sport, especially a new sponsor that may have never, you know, been in the sport before, how do you approach them specifically and try and pitch to them the NASCAR environment out there, what it brings to their company, what NASCAR can do for them in building their brand as a company, and how that translates into hopefully bringing in more customers for their company as a whole after they run an event like this?
I'd say probably the first and most important aspect for me is I want them to see the NASCAR atmosphere, the family setting, the fact that, you know, regardless of what team you're with or who you are, you always work to help others out. And it's still a competitive sport, don't get me wrong, but, you know, we're a family-style sport. Everybody's family, and everybody's treated as family. With PPR Industries, it was a little bit different because they kind of had an understanding and they had kind of looked in that direction just a little bit when we approached these guys. And, you know, it's just a matter of showing them what type of return on investment they could expect to get from the sport. And, you know, just, I don't know, basically it was easy with these guys because Dan and them realized, you know, that NASCAR and firearms and the South, everything just kind of met and went together. I'm not trying to short sell anybody. It's tough. Anytime you talk to a new potential sponsor, it's hard because going in, you've got to have their attention and you've got to show them that it's something that could benefit them as well as us. But, you know, when you come into an environment such as, you know, what Dan and Chris Patterson and those guys have got down there, it really everything just kind of meshed and fell into place. And walking in, you felt like you knew them your entire life. And I can't say that for all of the potential sponsors that we meet with, but it's just a completely different atmosphere when you're walking in with these guys. And I hope that's
yeah,
that right.
Yeah. I mean, for us, you know, when you walked in, we had thought about it, you know, a couple of years back when we first moved. You know, somebody else had contacted us. I forget what team it was for. But, you know, and the money was just – it was too much for us to afford, you know, it was a lot. It was a lot more than we expected. And we had pretty much written it off. Like, oh, you know, it's kind of a rich man thing. You know, like you said, the Fortune 500 companies, you know, we'll never be able to do that. And, you know, when Brian came and I really broke it down and, you know, it showed us how affordable it could be and, you know, how we're kind of, you know, start with like a smaller team and kind of grow together. You know, that was real attractive to us. And, you know, when I brought it to my superiors and, you know, presented everything to them, you know, it was a no-brainer from the start.
And my last question before I throw you back over to Tim is, you know, I got both of you guys on here, and either one of you or maybe both of you can kind of answer this question is, you know, we live in a sport that is so sponsorship-driven, and it's so hard for drivers and especially teams to get from track to track a lot of times without these sponsorship deals being put into place. You know, when you go and put these deals together, Brian, and when you as a company come into the sport and sponsor a driver or sponsor a team, you know, you look at it as a totally different dynamic now. Now you kind of understand what it really takes to drive this sport forward, not only for a driver, you know, the team, and just the what it takes to get a team to the competitive level that there is.
how does, you know, even the small sponsorship that you guys are working with this weekend with Make Motorsports on this level feel that by driving this forward makes the sponsorship a little bit more, you know, affordable, and the drivers themselves and the teams move forward as a team with that sponsorship?
Well, I will say for us, I mean, you know, really getting, when, which, you know, once we saw, like, you know, we went to the race in Charlotte, and I really got to, you know, see how, you know, how really family-oriented all these teams are. You know, they're just, you know, you think of them as like superstar people, you know, if you don't know much about it. And all it really is people trying to get out there and make ends meet every week and get to the track. You know, I never realized myself how important all those sponsorships were to, you know, keep the wheels moving, for lack of a better term. And, you know, it makes it that much more gratifying to be able to, you know, not only, you know, sponsor and, you know, get our name out there, but to help, you know, these teams out and to, you know, help them move forward.
Definitely. And each sponsorship, really, it's about like pieces to a puzzle. With me, I know what the budget is. I know what it takes to, you know, to make that race and run that race, you know, and all of the dynamics and logistics that go along with it as far as getting to the track and the expenses involved. So every sponsor to me that goes on that truck or on that cup car basically is just as important as the next one. I mean, we work hard to promote and to market and to come up with new ideas of how to help these guys market their businesses just in order to show them that we can give them a better, you know, better value for their dollar, and we can help stretch that and help take it, you know, just a little bit further. People don't. I mean, you got a good point. People do not see everything that we put into this week in and week out, the travel and sacrifices that our families make in order to put this show on to where everybody else can come out and enjoy it for that weekend. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't change a thing. I love it. If I didn't love it, I wouldn't do it. But there's a lot that goes into it.
All right, guys, appreciate you taking the time, and I know that Tim is back. I'm going to let him ask you guys a couple of questions before we let you guys go out of here. Appreciate it. And, you know, for a new sponsor coming into the sport, thank you. Appreciate it, because I know that for every little sponsor that comes into the sport, it really does help, you know, drive the interest a little bit more. It helps everybody out, even the little teams and you know, the drivers out, you know, make it to the race. It means a lot to everybody, and it just kind of invokes the sport a little bit further into the future.
Most definitely, and like I said, every sponsor counts. And it's, you know, if anyone's out there listening that's interested in sponsorship, you know, PTR, they're a great example of what you can gain and what you can do, you know, even on a smaller budget.
And Dan, this is Tim. Thanks again, you and Brian, for taking time out of y'all's busy schedule to come on our show. PTR Industries, I think you picked probably one of the best tracks. And as you can tell, I got my Southern Draw, Dan. And Stephen can be a witness to me, too. Stephen's got a gun safe of pistols and rifles, and I do, too. But I think you picked a very good race and a very good team with Bait Motorsports, Brian and them, to sponsor this weekend. Is coming up, Fred's 250 Tato Super Speedway.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said before, from the beginning, it just felt right. I met Brett, Brian, and I at dinner with owners. They're just like all you guys. You know, they got their safes full of rifles and pistols, and you know, they were super excited. I looked around. You don't see a whole lot of gun manufacturers on any of the cars out there. So, you know, maybe this will, you know, spark a little interest for some of the other guys. Maybe some of the big boys will come to town, you know?
Yeah, and Dan, is there, I don't want to push the limits here, go across my question, but is there any future sponsorship maybe down the road with Make Motorsports and the NASCAR Temporal Truck Series?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This, you know, Brian and I started talking, you know, and you know, I really got to see how it all worked. And when I took it to my superiors, the owners of PTR, you know, they were like, you know what? It makes sense. You know, these guys are going to take care of us and get our name out there. Let's help them out and get our feet wet, kind of dip our feet in and see what happens, you know. I think the possibilities, you know, are endless, you know. Maybe it's not this year, then next year. But, you know, we're going to keep in contact, and there's definitely a very good possibility of continued sponsorship.
And, Dan, can you talk a little bit about PTR Industries? For some of our listeners that really don't know exactly what y'all do, can you sort of throw some information out there? Go ahead.
All right, so PTR industry started about 10 years ago. We were a very small company with about 10 employees. From there, me and actually a few of my friends took over the company along with one of my buddy's grandfathers, who, he funded the takeover. And from there, we basically looked at each other and said, you know, we're in our mid-20s. We're going to take this company, and we're going to grow it, and we're going to be successful. From there, we've grown it to now we're at we're right about 60 employees. We started out in Connecticut. We manufactured there for 8 years until, we were growing and growing and growing until those gun laws got passed up there. You know, the General Assembly in Connecticut passed a restrictive gun law overnight, which basically made us felons because they didn't leave any exemptions for manufacturing. So for instance, you can't have over a 10 round magazine. Well, we bought 700,000 20 round magazines, 10 years ago. So are we supposed to go and pay to register everyone and put our fingerprints down? That's just not feasible. And just the fact that they didn't even think about that, and that there's so many other gun companies in Connecticut, Connecticut was the leader in gun manufacturing for 100 years. Colt started there. And so when that happened, we made a decision that, we're going to pick back our bags. And, Texas tried to get us to come there. But there's a bunch of different states that were pursuing us once we made it public that we were going to leave. South Carolina pursued us hard. And, we ended up picking Hayner, South Carolina. We were able to retain over half of our staff moved down with us. Most of our main key managers and everybody, they're all with us down here. We're super happy to be here. Now, for the people out there listening that might not have ever heard of us, we actually make G3 style rifles. It's a delayed blowback roller lock system. It's not like an AK or an AR. It doesn't have any gas tubes or any of that stuff. Everything happens right inside the chamber, which is why, our style of rifle has been used throughout Europe and Africa for 60, 70 years now as, their battle rifle because it's so reliable. It's very simple. It doesn't have a lot of moving parts. It can be field stripped clean and reassembled without any tools. The magazines we use are very reliable, inexpensive, and they're very easy to find. And, the battle rifle design, it makes it so you can, it likes to operate whether it's dirty or wet or it doesn't matter. So that's just a little bit about our company.
Yeah, and Stephen Wilson and I and Stephen's wife, Ann Marie, and my wife, Suzanne, we are big supporters of the Second Amendment. We all full pack. I take a pistol wherever I go. When I go to work, it's with me. I can't take it in the Coos Valley entry, but it's in my truck. And we are firm believers of the Second Amendment. And, Dan, I want to thank you again for what you do for the sport and what you've done for Make Motorsports. And if you want to let everybody know out there where they can follow you at on social media and also PTR Industries, you got the full bud.
Yeah, you can our website is www.pcr91.com. You can also find us on Facebook at PTR Industries. Instagram, it's at PTR Industries. And Twitter is the same, at PTR Industries. Feel free to follow us. We have giveaways and, any news about the company, you can find out all that stuff there. And if anybody wants a rifle, feel free to give us a call at the factory. We'll take care of you.
That sounds good. Suzanne and I are going to be in Dega. I reckon I'm going to talk Brian out of one.
There we go.
Well, it might cost you a little bit.
Our chief operating officer is actually going to be at the Super Speedway for the Sprint Cup race. So he'll be there this weekend.
Definitely.
Okay.
And Tim,
okay,
I'll get you two together and let you two discuss that.
Okay, well, I'll have to ask Suzanne because I dropped a lot of money at a breast cancer awareness thing this past Saturday. So, Suzanne might not let me buy nothing for a while.
Well, we got all the time in the world. Feel free to give me a call whenever you want.
All right.
Definitely,
Brian,
we appreciate it.
I'm sorry, Brian. Go ahead. You want to let everybody, Brian, before we let you and Dan go, you want to let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, Make Motorsports and Go Green Racing. You got the full book.
Definitely. By all means, you can follow me at Facebook. If you go to Facebook and look up Blue Autistic, you can find us there. Or on Twitter, you can find me at Droopy's Revenge. It's DRUPYSREVENGE. We're giving away, we're always giving away stuff, whether it be autographed item, merchandise, or hats, you name it. So by all means, just look us up there. I want to thank Dan for his sponsorship. Dan, we appreciate you guys. We look forward to many more races to come with you guys.
Yeah,
we appreciate you as well, and I can't wait to see you this weekend.
Okay, Dan, thank you very much. I'll hit you up on Facebook or Twitter. I'll see if I can find you. And Brian, thanks again for getting all this stuff together. And Stephen, you have any last things for Dan or Brian, bud? You got the floor.
I don't.
Okay. Dan, thank you very much. I'll hit you up on social media.
No problem.
And Brian, I'll see you in Talladega. Safe travels down, and we'll see you this weekend, bud.
By all means, you guys have a great night. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate everybody's listening.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thanks for having fun.
You're welcome, Dan. You're welcome, Brian. That was Brian Huffstickle from, I matched the wrong button. I hit the wrong button. I knocked Todd off. That was from PTR Industries, Dan Pinkerton, and Director of Public Relations at Make Motorsports, Brian Huffstickle. Stephen, we went a long time tonight. I want to go ahead and read off the schedule of events this weekend. Saturday, all times of Easter. Saturday the 24th, Camper World Truck Series qualifying, 10:30 a.m. Your TV is Fox Sports 1. Also Saturday, Camper World Truck Series, 3 p.m. MRN has your radio. Fox has your TV. And then also Saturday, Sprint Cup Series qualifying, 4:15 p.m. Eastern time. MRN has your radio. NBCSN has your TV. And then Sunday, the last race to make it into the next one, Stephen. The Sprint Cup Series, CamperWorld.com 500, 2:30 p.m. Eastern. MRN has your radio. NBCSN has your TV coverage. Stephen, any last thoughts, bud? We're going into a big weekend.
No, I really don't have a whole lot other than you're going to hear a whole lot of bumper door clear, four wide. That's about it.
It's going to be awesome. I wish y'all could have made it down, but I understand. I'll be sending you pictures and info whenever I can. But, Stephen, let everybody out there know where they can follow you at on social media, boy. You got the phone.
Follow us, facebook.com/SpeedwayDigest, at Speedway Digest on Twitter, and SpeedwayDigest.com. We've got everything posted there. We'll have everything up this weekend covering all the race action there from Talladega Super Speedway, along with Tim, who'll be on the ground for us from the media center out there. And I'm sure you better put your walking shoes on because that's one big monster you got down there to walk around.
It is, Stephen. And we're going to Suzanne and I are going to go up to the press box this time. First time we're going to go up there Sunday and going to leave the media center. But thanks again for being a good friend, bud. Thanks for everything you do for our show. And I'll be talking to you this weekend. Tell AM and the boys we said hello, bud.
I will. You guys have a good night.
All right, you too, bud. Talk right to you this weekend.
Well, it's a long way to Richmond. north on 95. With a redhead riding shotgun and a pistol by my side. Tearing down that highway like a modern day Bonnie and Clyde.
Disappointing ending for this month.